Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you had a great week. I'm JT along with David the Beef Shirtliff here. He's the master producer here. You know, he is. He just is. He's got the hat. Welcome to the Barbecue Nation, where overheating and overeating are allowed and expected of you. You know, what's it like to be a pit master? You've seen them on television, on the reality shows. You hear us talk about them all the time. So we thought we would invite somebody in that's from one of the hottest barbecue restaurants here in the metro area. And we're going to find out what it's like for the trials and tribulations to be a pit master. We're going to talk about his job as a pit master, not only what that entails, but the dedication it takes to be a really good pit master. Bocephus, Hank Williams Jr. is going to be our music today, as you could just tell. So, Ryan, welcome.
Thank you very much.
How'd you get to be a pit master?
I grew up on the East Coast and was pretty much kind of fell in love with it as a kid, doing like pit barbecue kind of stuff back in Maryland. And then came out to Portland, was running restaurants and trying to mix the barbecue into it. And then got a great chance to hook up with Rodney Muirhead, the owner of Padno's. Mm-hmm. And just kind of started there and fell in love with it right away. And now I'm running it.
So you're kind of self-taught at the beginning?
Yep. And then Rodney with a lot of help, you know, and some good advice definitely got me on the right track and got me into the Texas kind of style barbecue. And I just fell in love.
Do you ever let any of the East Coast, the stuff you grew up with, when I think of Maryland, I think of like stone crabs and stuff. Any of that ever, you know, kind of drift over into some of the stuff you're doing? I mean, it probably's not going to do with brisket or, you know, those larger cuts of meat, but maybe the side dishes and things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Maryland is kind of in that southern realm too. So a lot of special sides at Padno's are coming off my grandmother's recipes and stuff like that. I love blue crabs. I have a tattoo of a big blue crab as well. It's kind of my pride for Baltimore. We have some future stuff going on, and I'd like to bring a little more of that seafood, the East Coast seafood realm over as well.
Shouldn't be too tough being out here in Oregon,
right?
All the seafood we have.
Correct.
So let's talk a little bit about the basics. Before we went on the air here, you were telling me, you know, you got up early, the fire's going, you're pulling stuff off from for lunch for, you know, what you put in last night type thing. Kind of give us an overview of your routine for the day starting at dark 30.
Oh yeah. So I'm getting to the restaurant around 5 a.m. Our smoker runs 24 hours. Our biggest thing is to kind of get fresh food out all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So, I get there before the sun, comes up, and then I pull out all the meat that we have going all night, wrap it up, start getting it rested, finishing it off, getting my ribs on for lunch at that point, and then kind of trimming and seasoning everything and making sure all that stuff's on by 6, so that it's coming off fresh for dinner.
Now I gotta interrupt you for just a second there. You said you wrap them up. Are you doing the parchment thing or the butcher paper thing after you pull them off and letting them rest?
Yep, the butcher paper thing. We're wrapping them, putting them back in the smoker, bringing them up to temp, and then pulling them out, letting them rest.
Sure.
Trying to get them to rest for at least 3 hours and then serving them.
I did a little experiment last night. We'll talk about it later in the show, but it worked really slick. Okay, so your biggest cuts of beef, brisket?
Brisket.
Yeah.
We're going through about 700 pounds of meat per day, give or take. So, you know, we like to kind of change it up sometimes, but with the smoker running 24 hours, there's not too much more to do other than
sure.
the brisket, the ribs. We do butts. We also do chicken and trout as well.
There you go. So we're going to talk about some of those. Your seasoning, do you do basics? I mean, are you salt and pepper people? I confess I've never been to Podna's. That's going to be short-lived
right.
at this point.
We got
to
get you
I've
in
been.
There now.
It's the best.
It's the best. Okay.
I like it pretty simple. You know, that's kind of the way we're going there. Just taking a lot of care of it, salt and pepper, and then, you know, throwing some chili powder in there as well for the pork.
Mm-hmm.
But super simple and just slow and low, you know, cooking it till it's done.
Now, you said you put a little chili powder in on the pork. The reasoning behind that is everybody's got their own reasons, so this isn't an inquisition here.
Right.
I'm just curious of your thought process.
So, you know, we're staying with a dry rub, and the chili powder just gives it a little more of that kick.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like having a little spice on the back end, and that's where the chili powder's coming in.
There you go. My theory was, too, pork tends to be, a butter or shoulder or something like that, a little greasier than beef a lot of times. And a lot of times that chili powder, to me, kind of cuts through that, I don't want to call it a greasy taste, but, you know, it's a different flavor.
Right.
And if it's not kind of been all rendered out in the cooking and stuff, that chili powder will help that. That's
right.
Just my thoughts
yeah.
on that. Yeah. So go through with us, like, rack of ribs. Are you splitting the back, pulling off the membrane? Are you leaving the membranes on? How do you guys do that up there?
We're leaving the membranes on. We're just going with a St. Louis cut. And then leaving the membranes on, we're putting a little mustard on there to kind of hold the seasoning on there,
mm-hmm.
seasoning it up and throwing it in the smoker.
And how long do you do those? About six?
Yeah, about 5 to 6 hours, yeah. give or take. It really depends on how full the smoker is.
Yeah.
If the smoker's full, they'll take a good 6 hours.
What kind of smoker do you guys use up there? You custom built or?
Nope. We got it from Old Hickory. It's an Old Hickory. And we get all of our wood from Texas because it's really hard to find the oak up here that's not cured really well.
Right.
So we're shipping it all from Texas on a big semi. It's all wood. I love the Old Hickory. It's a big rotisserie, so we don't really have to move stuff around too much. It's pretty much just moving it from top rack to bottom rack on the rotisserie.
That's cool.
It makes it, when we were using just a regular side smoker, we were having to move it around a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know. So this really helped it out, kind of keeping it going.
Yeah, it does. When you're using an offset smoker or something like that, you do have to adjust your meats, even at home. Even if you're at home, you've got to do that. And those rotisserie deals are pretty sharp.
Yep.
You know, it helps out a lot because you can kind of put it in there and almost forget about it for a while.
Yeah, to a degree. You know, yeah. I really, the biggest thing is I hate to open those smoker doors. We try to keep them closed as much
sure.
as possible to keep the heat and the smoke in there. And you keep opening it all the time, you're releasing a lot of that flavor.
And then how big are your portions, by the way, or your ribs? You get a half rack, whole rack, whatever?
You can go from a quarter rack to a full rack. So quarter, half, or full.
Okay.
A full rack is about 12 to 13 ribs, and then, you know, six ribs for half rack, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So you can get full there.
You can get a full, yes.
You can walk out of there looking like a pregnant Buddha.
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay, and your pulled pork, I noticed, and we're going to take a break here in a minute, but so if we run out of time, we'll pick it up on the other side. I was looking at your menus last night and stuff. You have a pulled pork sandwich there, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I thought it looked pretty cool because I saw some pictures of it.
Yeah, we do a Carolina style. That's kind of the East Coast coming over. So we do a Carolina style pulled pork. So it's vinegar, spicy vinegar sauce
yeah.
that goes on it. And we cook them, and, you know, we got it down, so they're coming out juicy, and then we're just throwing it on a bun.
That's a pretty simple deal there.
What
do you look for as the pit master when you're looking for a big piece of pork or a butt or something? What are you looking at? I mean, you ever get any reject and say, no, I can't do this?
Every once in a while, you know, if there's some spotting or something like that going on, then we will definitely have to reject it. You know, we really like a good fat cap on there so it can mm-hmm. render down through the meat. So if there is some rejects in that we're able to use, of course we do all our own sausages. So that's where all that stuff goes. We grind it all up and that's where our hot links come from.
There you go. Hey, we're with Ryan Day, the pit master up at Podna's in North Portland there. We're going to take a break here on the Barbecue Nation and the Radio Northwest Network. Stick around. We'll be right back.
It's full-flavored radio. Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to the Nation. That would be Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with David Shurtleff here in the studio high above the city in downtown Portland. And I'll say hi to all of our friends down the line and the Radio Northwest Network. We've got Ryan Day, the pit master from Podna's, with us today. I know they don't have Podna's down in Klamath Falls or up in Hood River, but in Hood River they can get down to enjoy your food there. If you have any questions for us, you can email us at barbecuenation@kxl.com or recipes if you want to share one of yours with us at kxl.com. And David, the old Facebook page?
Barbecue Nation with JT on Facebook, and you're welcome to do all the same things there. Give us recipes, and feel free to swing by and give us a like. It helps us out a lot.
Yeah, there you go. A couple of things coming up here. We have the UFO Festival coming up this week over at McMenamin's. That's the 12th through the 16th. And the Cheers to Belgian Beers is coming up May 13th through 14th at the North Warehouse. And Whiskey Town USA, May 13th through 15th. That's over on Southeast Alder if you're here in the city. So, Ryan, we were just talking off the air. You get done at the end of the day. You'd rather have a beer and a taco?
Yeah, or a slice of pizza or something like that. Like I was saying, most of the barbecue I'm eating right now is just tasting all day long. So at the end of the day, a cold beer and something other than barbecue seems to work out pretty well.
I know, and that's probably some people out there listening to the show are going to be scratching their head going, what are you talking about? Well, if you're around it virtually, you know, 20 out of 24 hours and you smell it and you were saying, you know, how you can walk up the street to the restaurant and tell what wood's in the firebox.
Yep. You know. So we do use a little pecan as well, or mesquite, especially for the bacon that we're doing. And I can tell what wood's in there. But as soon as I get in there, I can't really smell anything else.
Yeah.
And, of course, at the end of the day, my nose is full of smoke anyway.
So. And, you know, you smell like you just came out of a Chinese opium den.
Right.
You know,
with
a little mesquite seasoning there.
Yeah.
So when you do your seasonings, do you ever go off the reservation or do you ever, I guess I can't say that anymore. I guess that's not correct to say that. But anyway, do you ever tinker around with your seasoning?
We have played around with it and done some other stuff. You know, we really want to stay Texas true at the restaurant. So we won't sell anything like that. But we do have, you know, a taqueria next door called La Taq that we'll play around with some stuff and do, you know, anything from... you know, wild boar or lamb hearts and stuff like that. And we can kind of play around with a little more stuff over at the taqueria.
And your chili?
And our chili.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about your chili.
Okay. So it's pretty simple. So of course, since we try to do everything fresh every day, there is a lot of brisket, maybe not a lot, but there is brisket that's left over.
Sure.
So pretty much we just take that smoked brisket and cube it up. And then we make our own chili paste, with a bunch of different chili powders, and then just make a nice sauce and throw that brisket in there and cook it until it's falling apart a little more. And that's it. Boom.
You got a good review on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do the classic Frito pie. So we open up little bags of Fritos, throw our Texas chili on there, a little cheddar cheese, a little diced white onion.
Sure.
It's wonderful. You know, we did take some chili down too. We do the chili competition every year. Through the Mercury, and we won 2 years ago for our chili. So yeah, everyone, there's a lot of good response on it for sure.
Yeah, it sounded like it when I was reading about it last night. You talk about chili Frito pie. I spent many years traveling and doing broadcast work, but every year I would spend a couple, 3 weeks in Oklahoma. And that's why I'm always telling Oklahoma jokes. And one of the staples there at the Oklahoma State Fairgrounds was chili Frito pie. But after 3 or 4 days, it was kind of like us at the end of the day when you're dealing with barbecue. You wanted to go, you know, have a piece of fruit or
right,
something.
Yeah,
you know,
something,
you couldn't do that all the time.
Something without all the salt.
Yeah, right? All the salt in there. So what's your favorite thing to do with barbecue?
As in what I like to cook?
Yeah.
I really like brisket. You know, we've done a whole hog, and that's fun. But I like working with the beef and the brisket. Anything, you know, I love working with beef ribs as well. Anything that takes longer, I feel. You know, I love putting the time in. I love sitting there watching the fire and moving stuff around and just having that end product come out with juices pouring out of it. I mean, it makes my day.
Well, I was telling you that I did a brisket last night. It was a flat, you know, the cap had been cut off. And I did it on, it was the first one I'd done. I got a new black olive pellet grill. And I did it on that, and it was slick. And it was, well, David's got a little bag over here. He's not sharing. But, I really enjoyed doing it like you do. You know, I like that. But I had never done a brisket with a pellet grill, this new one. And it worked out really good. So I'm probably always experimenting on the side, tweaking and messing with stuff a little bit.
And I think that's the best thing about barbecue as well that keeps it fresh is that you can find so many new ideas to try to make it better.
Yes.
You know, there's always that extra step that you can take to make it better, you know?
Yeah, I like tinkering.
Right, yeah.
You know, tinkering. And they may never see it at the table. But I like tinkering. You know, some things make it out in front of people and other things not so much. But I think that's the way you learn, too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Do you have any things you don't like about being a pit master besides getting up early?
My wife kicking me out of bed because I reek of smoke. When I get home at night, you know, she doesn't work in a barbecue restaurant, obviously. So, you know, there has to be a separate pile of my work clothes that get washed a lot. But yeah, she can definitely, I mean, I come home reeking of smoke, so that's.
You hang them out on the back porch. Summertime type thing. Yeah, I know.
Let my dogs lick on them.
It's tough. Podnez is up at 1625 Northeast Killingsworth. I'm going to make it up there one of these days.
Let us know.
To see that. We're going to be back with more of Barbecue Nation and Ryan Day. He's going to do the lightning round. We never told him about that.
Oh, yeah, so. I wasn't told about this at all.
I know. You'll love it. I promise. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to the Nation. That would be Barbecue Nation. I'm with JT, along with master producer, the Beeve, David Shurtleff. And we've got Ryan Day, the pit boss, up at Podnez with us. Wanted to tell you, too, that our old buddy Steve Reichlin, he prefers Steven, though, will be in town June 1st and 2nd. He's doing some stuff and he'll be here also. We'll be doing another interview with him on his new book called Project Smoked. I got the advanced copy. It looks pretty good. It's kind of fun. Ryan, do you cook at home?
I do.
And what do you cook?
It's usually a lot of fresh veggies and stuff like that, but I do have my smoker and I love to, you know, have guests over and smoke what I can get a hold of, you know?
you're not a vegan or anything.
No.
Well, I wouldn't think so if you had to sample ribs and beef all day.
I love meat.
Okay. Do you do TV dinners or takeout or anything?
A lot of, you know, I guess I tend to do a lot of frozen pizzas here and there. That's kind of my my guilty pleasure, I guess it
yeah.
is. But, yeah, I try to stay away from it as much as I can. But beer and pizza, frozen pizza, I think, is the two things. That
there you go. There you go. Tires and lubrication. That's what,
right,
you know, like that.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know if David told you coming on the show requires you to partake in what we call the lightning round.
Right.
You
sounds
ready?
Great. Yeah.
Okay. Ryan Day, pit master up at Podna's in Portland. What barbecue skill took you the longest to master?
Wow. The longest to master.
Yeah.
Maybe slicing ribs. There was a while there where when I was first starting that I was hitting that bone way too many times.
Oh, yeah, gunk.
Yeah, and just getting the knife stuck a little bit. And so, you know, now it comes, you know, it's second nature now. Right. Just pull it through. You know, we do lamb ribs too. And that was, I think that was the most practice I've had, because cutting those lamb ribs are quite a task.
Yeah, they are. They are, actually. Which of these would you rather barbecue or smoke? The Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, Christmas goose, or the Easter bunny?
Ooh, I would have to go the Easter bunny. Yeah, I love smoked rabbit.
You're like the second or third person that's said that to us.
Wow, the Easter bunny better watch his back, I think.
I know. Well, you get, you know, dumping those chocolate eggs all over the place.
Right.
What's the toughest part of your job? Besides getting up early.
Ooh, that was going to be my answer. Toughest part of my job, you know, the long days, probably. You know, getting up early isn't too bad, but, you know, I'm there a long time, well into the evening. So it's good to get away sometimes.
How many thermometers do you go through a year?
Oh, man, that is, I would say, close to 50 to 75, I would imagine.
Yeah.
It's probably not that number. But we go through a lot. I have at least a dozen thermometers just around the kitchen.
There you go. if you had a choice, who would you like to cook for you?
Who would I like to cook for me? Wow.
Uh-huh.
Well, man, this is a tough question. I would have to go somebody famous, right? I guess I would have to go... I don't know. Bobby Flay, I guess, would be the...
We've banned Bobby Flay from this show.
Right.
Yeah, no. It's okay. Is there anybody that you can think of, you don't have to name names, but you can if you want, because we're insured, that should not be doing barbecue?
That should not be doing barbecue.
Yeah.
No, I don't think... I think everybody should be doing barbecue. At least give it a try and throw it out there and put the time in. Know what it takes to do it.
Do you have a favorite barbecue book that anybody's come out with?
Yeah, Aaron's barbecue book. Aaron Franklin's barbecue book. From novice to expert, there's so much to learn out of that book. I mean, he just lets it all go and tells you how to do it. It's very good.
I loaned mine to a friend a month and a half ago. He's not given it back yet, the booger.
I think we're on our third copy at the restaurant.
Oh, yeah?
Because that's what happens.
Yeah.
People kind of snag it and just walk
gone.
Off. Yep.
If you were declared supreme ruler of barbecue for a week, what would you as supreme ruler declare?
I would declare that everyone needs to eat barbecue.
There you go.
Ribs for dinner every night.
What's the dumbest thing you've ever seen done on a grill or a smoker?
Oh, man. I've seen people pull off some raw meat before and try to serve it. It was bad.
Okay.
The brisket was not even close.
Chainsaw.
Right, yeah. That, you know, they thought that they could just hit that like 150 mark and call it good, you know. And yeah, they tried to slice into it and I showed up and was like, "What is this? Everyone stop eating."
The saw thing. Okay, a couple more really quick. Where is the worst place you ever had to cook? And I don't mean like I'm talking geographically.
Right. That would probably have to be I had to do some stuff in Montana up in the woods. I lived in Montana for a little while, and we were doing some catering stuff, and it was horrible. The bugs were just terrible. It was hot, you know, and it just wasn't good. It wasn't good.
Montana, it either seems to be hot or cold. There's no happy medium.
Right, right. Yeah. You got maybe like a 10-day stretch of happy medium.
For someone that is new to barbecue or grilling or smoking, what would you recommend for them to start with as far as meat?
I would say try some chicken thighs. You know, they don't take that long. And maybe go with some other chicken stuff. They don't take that long. It's pretty forgiving by the end, but I think that's a good place to start and then kind of work from there.
Yeah, and if you really tank it up, they're not very expensive either.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, last one. Who's your favorite musical group?
Ooh, Fish.
Fish?
Or the Grateful Dead.
There you go. All right. Well, you pass. You pass, Ryan.
Good.
They're on the of course, this will be all posted up later on the podcast after the show and stuff, but you know, you can have your wife listen to this and give her some real insight into your innermost secrets.
Right.
I'll put it that way. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, and you can email us, too, at barbecuenation@kxl.com and recipes@kxl.com. I've got a note here that David had me put in here. It says, like us on Facebook. And I put the thing begging like that. Is there one thing you wish you are working on to add to your selection up at the restaurant?
Well, we are working. We are starting catering right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a smoker that actually Aaron Franklin built for us that we're going to be using for that. But that's what we're kind of trying to build on now, doing some offsite kind of stuff and working on that and just kind of making people happy, you know, doing whatever they need to be done.
It's kind of interesting, the barbecue boom in the Portland metro area. You know, a few years ago, there was only a handful of restaurants that did barbecue.
Right.
And now there seems to be quite a few. But and some of them, like, I haven't been to your establishment yet, but quite a few of them are quite good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting a handle on this.
Absolutely. And you know, I love to go try those different places. There is, you know, there's a place right over on MLK called Matt's Barbecue. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's just a little cart. But he's doing great stuff over there, you know. I love to see the boom. I think that Padna's became so successful because there wasn't too many places doing barbecue in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And now there is a great boom, and it's I love to see it.
So when you go in there, do you have like a trench coat and sunglasses and a fedora so they don't recognize you?
Right. Or? No, I think the relationship between us needs to all be good. We're all trying to do the same thing and giving each other hints or tips. I think it's all in the same family there. So I love to, you know, talk with them and you know, kind of team up with them and see what they're doing. And
what do you think about the different styles? You know, I mean, and we talk about it here because it's the content of the show, but of course you've got East Coast, you know, the Carolinas, vinegar, and then mustard, if you go a little further south. You know, Texas, of course, you got Arkansas. Now Santa Maria, which we just always thought that was a town. We didn't know it was an actual style for years. And you've got that, and now a couple people are trying to do Pittsburgh-style barbecue and that. So your thoughts on that?
I think it's really good for the barbecue. I think that's what gives it a lot of character. There's so much history in barbecue in those different places that – to have different styles for each region, I think it's just adding on to the character of barbecue and being able not to have the same thing, you know, always taking that next step.
And to think it all came from throwing a dead piece of mastodon on a hot bed of coals.
Right, exactly.
You know,
yep.
50,000 years ago or whenever that was. Anything you'd like to do yet that you haven't done real quickly?
Meat-wise on the barbecue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, you know, breaking down a whole cow and doing something like that. You know, I know we do a lot of that stuff, but just kind of getting the butchery stuff, breaking down some more meat and some more primal cuts and stuff.
All right, there you go. We'll be back here on The Nation, more with Ryan Day right after this.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Welcome back to The Nation, Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with David Sherliff. And our guest today, Ryan Day, who is the pit master up at Podness. I like that. We get along just fine. Well, almost. That little kind of codicil in there like that. I want to tell you really quick about our friends over at Bear Mountain Fortis Products. They make the best pellets around. I can verify that because I use them myself. You can have an apple or hickory or cherry, but I tend to use the mesquites and the hickories like that for my work. And you can look them up online at BearMountainForestProducts.com. Good stuff there. And you can find them at most any retailer around that sells barbecue products. Ryan, you've got a website you want to talk about?
Yeah, www.podnaspit.com. Yeah, you can just kind of find everything there from our menu to our new catering kind of website. So anything you want to know about us, just visit the website.
Is there a time better to come than others? I mean, are you get stacked up outside and can't get a seat or something?
We're definitely busy. Lunches are probably the best if you don't want to wait at all, get in and out. But if you're coming for dinner, dinner starts at 5 on the weekends. We usually have a line by then.
Take reservations?
No, we don't take reservations.
Good,
come, first serve. We try to get you guys in and out, you know. But yeah, usually earlier the better during that. You know, we have a band on Saturdays that start at 2. It's a little honky-tonk band. But, yeah, it's always fun to come then, too, and there's not too many people there. But
they play Hank stuff? Yeah.
I think it's a lot of originals, but I'm sure that
they could probably play some Hank.
Right.
Do that. All right, Ryan, it was great to talk to you. And give our listeners the thoughts of a pitmaster out there.
Anytime.
You know, how did they ever come up with that term anyway?
I don't know. I think it was given, I think we named ourselves.
Probably.
Right? Doesn't that sound something?
Yeah.
It is a cool name.
Right.
It is. It really is. But I mean, I was trying to figure out who came up with that term the other day.
Yeah.
And I really, it evades me.
Right.
You know, because they used to just be like, well, there's a barbecue guy. And now he's a pit master.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I guess that's like, you're a doctor of spices or something. I don't know.
I think, you know, if you eat some really well-prepared meat, you're thinking that it was done by a master, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've had people do this to you, you know, when they know what you do and they are you serve them yourself at home or whatever, they'll say, oh, man, that's the best.
Yeah.
That's the best I've ever eaten and all that stuff, you know, and then it's very gratifying. But, you know, then they probably say that to the next guy that gives them a hamburger, too. So,
right.
You know, never do that. Anyway, we want to thank David for being with us again, and all of our affiliates down the line, and of course Ryan Day from Podness, doing that, and we've got McGarian on deck. And what are you doing? I've got more stuff to say. You don't have to do that. I got a whole list of crap to say here.
Sorry, I just wanted you to stretch.
I am stretching. And Bushlack's in the hole coming up. Yeah, that's a baseball term. You know what I mean?
In the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm a golfer, so it doesn't mean anything to me. We've also got a couple of things coming up from the Pacific Northwest Barbecue Association up in Wenatchee. Coming up next weekend is the Eastern Washington Barbecue Championship at the, it's called Pybus, P-Y-B-U-S Market, and that is in Wenatchee. And you can go to the Northwest Barbecue Association website and find out about that. And also Cruising Chalon, or Chalon, depending on how, if you're French, you would say Chalon. But locally, we'd say that Lake Chelan up there. That's coming up the first part of June. So they have a big barbecue contest up there. Do you ever do any competitive stuff?
We have. We have. Now that we're so busy, it's kind of hard to get out there. And we didn't do so well, I guess, the last time we went out there. So.
Well, it's all pretty subjective.
Right,
the deal is.
It was the first time that we've done anything like that. So it was a good learning experience.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget to go by and see our friends at Barclays down in Woodburn. Take a cruise through that store. I've always said they've got over 10,000 things. They've actually got over 100,000 things in that complex to look at. Lots of stuff. I don't think they have any barbecues, though. It's, you know, it's a pawn shop, and it's a buy and sell place like that. It's been redone, renewed, reviewed, and all that. It's really clean, but I don't think I've never seen a barbecue there.
They need one.
They need one.
Yeah.
We could fix them up with that, you know.
Right, we could.
We could. Anyway, are we done? Okay. We'll see you all next week here on Barbecue Nation on the Radio Northwest Network. Take care, everybody. Oh, and watch the race this afternoon. My head is black and my legs are blue and both kneecaps are bent clean through. It was an attitude adjustment.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is produced and tolerated by David Shurtleff in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.